Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody's got to promote this on Facebook.
I have a number of people from whom I get policy. I'm talking to Frank Gaffney. I talked to Richard Haass.
And Richard Haass served under Colin Powell during this Bush administration over at the State Department. He's now the president of the Council on Foreign Relations.
The idea of a one world community, a new world order. You know, they see that as
they see themselves as a government as opposed to a group of world leaders or people with influence at a global level who are talking about global issues, do they?
They see themselves as headhunters. They'll get an up and coming politician who they think may be president or prime minister one day, and as globalist industrialist leaders who believe that politics shouldn't be in the hands of the politicians.
People talk to me about, you know, the issue of Republican versus Democrat as if they don't get it. And I say, look, here's the way you get it. It's organized crime. All you do is you call the Republicans the Genoveses and you call the Democrats the Gambinos. The people at the top, they treat it like a crap game, like it's their crap game, like they're making lots of money. Occasionally, somebody at the table shoots each other, but the moment anything threatens their crap game, they all unite to protect it. They're both controlled by the same financial, economic, and corporate interests.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
It used to be more secretive. You know, the New World Order was talked about 30 or 40 years ago, and nobody would say it out and open. Now they talk about the New World Order, or they just think the world would be better off if we had one world government.
Right.
I don't. I mean, I don't even like the size of our federal government, let alone one world government.
It's a need for a new world order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international
order. Of a new international order.
But there's a very, very clear-cut and easily identifiable system in place that puts all of these elements, from media control to government control to energy control, together into one apparatus working together effectively towards its final goal, which is, you know, global control.
A new world is emerging. It is a new world order.
It's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
There is a cabal, conspiracy if you will, to take control of the United States, lead us into a one world government run by them.
Americans have been taught to expect their salvation from government, instead of recognizing government as the most dangerous threat they'll face in their lives.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, three were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong?
What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the streets.
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
And the Federal Reserve. And the fractional banking system.
And the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul. And the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men. Machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You, the people, have the power. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, let us all unite!
All right, everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting. Late. Never have I ever been late. We've done screw-ups on the show, but where, you know, we started late, but I was missing in action. Said waited for host to call in. Wow, that's, you know, technical difficulties, that's all. We'll rack it up with technical difficulties that can be solved, problems that can be solved. Understanding the times in which we live today. It's hard to understand the times in which we live today. You never know what's going to happen, what's around the corner. You know, we see what's happening in our country right now. Everybody's grasping at the air that they breathe, wondering if they're going to get the flu virus, right? You know, I'm going to open up the platform here tonight. There's no guest scheduled. Before I do, Thursday night, I was contacted by Dr. Peter Ventura, Navy veteran, good man. He's going to be a guest on the platform with Pastor Cadenas and his wife, Marilyn, Dr. Peter Ventura's wife. Obviously, if none of you have been following the show, Marilyn, his wife, first female state commander for the VFW in the history of this country, who does a lot of work for veterans. I call Peter on a Sunday, and they're out there, you know, serving meals to veterans. They're out there, you know, putting the wreath at Arlington National Cemetery there. They're constantly out there working for the vets out there. So that's a show you want to tune in to. And Dr. Peter Ventura has been on the show before, and we know he's a pastor of a church, and he's not a follower of the elites. He's a rightly dividing church that stands up against the system, and he is a very, very knowledgeable individual in the Bible and the history of America and our world history. And he's been on the show plenty of times in prior years. So Dr. Peter Ventura will be on Thursday. And that's something that everyone I advise you to listen to, because he will convict you of your sin by the word of God. Okay, he will rightly divide the word of God, compare scripture with scripture, and he'll bring you. I've seen it. You know, I've seen him have discussions with Muslims. He's had discussions with the Mormons, many religious scholars out there, and they always walk away shaking their heads. because they don't know how he got them. And he got them through the Word of God, the Bible. And, you know, and listen, so just tune in on Thursday night. But anyway, tonight, Understanding the Times We Live In Today, press number 1-657-383-0616. Talk about what's on your mind, the status of our republic. What's on your mind tonight? Does anyone have a particular subject or way that we want to go here tonight? Well, we're late, obviously, but that's okay. Maybe a lot of the trolls didn't show up tonight. That'd be a good thing. And if you missed the show that we did a few nights ago with Wyatt and the youth show that we did, and that's something I really want to work on in the future, bring the youth to this floor and have maybe one night a week where they can come on and bring their friends to this platform and talk about what the youth sees for our future out there. I mean, after all, look, the young people out there, you know, love them or hate them, discredit them, call them names, say they're not workers, say whatever have you. You know, that's our future, the youth. So we need to rise up our youth. We need to train our youth. We need to listen to our youth and listen to what they have to say, because their problems that they're facing today is the problems that they're going to want to address tomorrow. So it's very important that we listen to our youth. We got to listen to them. That's very important. And if you missed that show, that was a great show. Great dialogue with the younger generation out there. It was very important to have that. And you know, that's something powerful that other shows don't do. But I did it, and I'm proud to be able to bring that type of platform to you, where they can come here and talk and speak to you, the adults out there, the veterans out there, the friends that I have out there listening, you know, give them a microphone, give them a voice on a worldwide show where we have people listening from the Philippines, England, Germany, Australia, Canada. So, and it's very important. Their voices need to be heard. I'm going to open up my first caller, move on down the line here tonight. First caller first, whatever is on your mind. And I'm going to start sending out the links today. I am live because some people are emailing me saying, what the heck's going on, Joe? What happened to the show? So here we go. 812, you're first. Go ahead. And actually, I did name a co-host here. So I think Chad. I did name him as a co-host. So I want to introduce Chad. Chad, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're my co-host. You're my co-host tonight. So I put that actually in the heading of the show. My Lord, time is going by so fast. I mean, just that's right on by.
Hey,
Chad, the floor is yours.
I hijacked the show from you. Come on, Joe. So, okay, it's been a few days since we've done a show, you know, and a lot has transpired over, you know, the last several days, and some of it not so great. And
my door's locked.
Sorry.
My door's locked.
1 second, guys. My apology. I got a snot-nosed kid right here in my ear. So a lot has transpired over the last few days. You know, some events, you know, here, but nothing too exciting. Nothing major. Indiana went on lockdown, and you know they put Indiana shelter in place, which means absolutely nothing because everybody's still out and about. Everybody's still going to work. Mysteriously, every business is labeled an essential business. Every employee is an essential employee. I went to the doctor today. You know, and turns out all I got is, you know, bronchitis and the flu. So it leads me to believe that this coronavirus, okay, this virus that just out of thin air popped up, you know, this new strain of cold. And what is baffling me is how quickly this coronavirus shut down the world. How it came about, how it shut down the world. And I'm not much for a lot of conspiracy theories. I believing JFK was assassinated for political reasons, and it was more than one man because, you know, I'm a rifleman myself, and I know for a fact you can't get off that many shots in that many seconds that precisely. And, you know, what it's leading me to believe is there's this big government cover-up. Because I'm not seeing any of the things that they're talking about. I'm not seeing the overcrowded hospitals. I'm not seeing the long lines outside of testing facilities. I'm not even seeing outside testing facilities in Indiana for this. I've been by several large public venues where they state they're supposed to be. Nothing. I haven't even seen the National Guard move in anywhere. They're stating that they're there for support and logistical role to get supplies and medical care for people, but I have yet to see any of these National Guard units moving. So the object of tonight's show, if we have any callers, is to find out. We want to hear what you think. We want to hear your thoughts in regard to this Corona 19. We want to hear, you know, COVID-19, whatever the hell it is. We want to know your thoughts on it. We want to converse about this and find out what's going on from state to state. And just get the overall general consensus on how you feel about it. So if we got any callers on tonight that want to talk about it and actually have any useful information, you know, or knowledge of anything, it'd be great. Now, just keep in mind, calls that come in, if you're going to call and you're going to be an idiot, you won't be entertained. We're not going to entertain, you know, the calls. And just for reference, everybody, I am circumcised. I will start the show out with that every night, just so you all know that, yes, I am circumcised. I am a Catholic.
Well, they, you know, that's the reason why you said that. You got to verify that for the new callers out there, because that is like the most important question that many of a lot of these trolls call in. They want to know. So he clarified that for you. So
yes.
Let's let it go, everybody.
Yes. So, and if you ask me, the doctor took too much off.
Oh, Lord. Oh, boy. I think we're getting a little bit too much detail here on that. A little details we don't want to see or hear or even imagine, for that matter. All right. We do got some callers here. We got some callers, and we're going to go to your buddy here. I think this is your buddy. And then I see 4192. I see you. I see 909. And let's see. 817, let's see, I see a bunch of you, okay? So just be patient. I know some of you probably at work, you're probably just tuning in and want to pick a fight, but let me go to 302 here first. He was first, I got to be honest. And then eventually my co-host will be able to see the call screen eventually in the future, and he can monitor the call boards for me, so then I can move over to the social media part of this and take calls there and take emails, because it's very hard to do. Go ahead, 302, go ahead. You're live.
All right, then. That's a beautiful thing. Let me just say I appreciate y'all having the show and giving the people a voice. And we'll see to what extent if people are going to be able to add what they see so that we can put all these ingredients on here to find out what to do. I heard the last several programs and everything, and I chose just to listen so I know exactly and precisely what I needed to say that will help people see exactly and precisely what we're participating in. Now, when you need to lay the map of the world out for you to really get everything on the table so you can figure out.
Who's got the background noise? Somebody's got the background noise. Somebody's got background noise like they're driving down the highway. We gotta be careful of that. That's why we got. I think it may be my co-host. So we're gonna have to send him like a new pair of headphones or something where it blocks out any. And we hear the.
Is
we know the
better,
beeping
Joe?
Is you, Mandelicon. Oh, that's awesome. Go right ahead, because I already got seven complaints. Background noise. I can't hear. I mean, well, these people just complain. But that's the reason why I say it. But go ahead, Mandelicon. Four is yours. Sorry.
Okay, no problem, no problem. That's just for clarity so we can get this thing, each and every documentation and on the table. And that's what I want to do, just put it in the national public record, whether people agree or not. But if you lay the map of the world out, and we talk about illness, we talk about viruses, and we also talk about freedom, justice, and total independence. Now, I know that capitalism based on imperialism has been the standard practice ever since this country was founded, capitalism based on imperialism. And you had the World Bank, IMF, and the Federal Reserve. Now, isn't it extraordinary, for the first time, the leadership of this country don't give a damn about making no money. Now, what do I mean by that? The March Madness, NBA, spring training, baseball, casinos, you know, businesses that's reputable businesses has already said from the top down that they're shutting down. Some people will be put out of work. Some people won't have employment. And then there's some who never had employment. But they all are in integrated society now, not a separated society, because the system said we're shutting things down. And it don't mean nothing about making no money right now. Now, why, if anybody had an ounce of sense, what would be on the table, on the agenda, where money don't mean a thing right now? You know, gas is as cheap as it's ever been. You can fly from $58 to $100 all across this country. And what would be the emphasis for right now to where capitalism based on imperialism is not the standard practice since the beginning? Something bigger than a virus, a mutated virus, something bigger than what we would term a pandemic or epidemic. What is happening is state-sponsored terrorism and a promotion of the greatest upheaval that we've ever seen on the planet Earth. When I mean by upheaval, that's what we call crisis, hardship, and state of emergency. When you put a bunch of people in a situation where their summer vacation is going to be a vacation from their bedroom to their living room or to their bathroom. That's the summer vacation. And when you
So you're asking why, so hang on, Mendoza, with all due respect, so you're asking basically why all of a sudden now we all have to be in our house, and but money is no object to the politicians, right? Am I correct or wrong?
To whoever likes capitalism, whoever likes making money. And we know casinos and all the places, and there's several others that I mentioned, that's their mainstay. That's their a cash crop. How? All of a sudden, from the top down, not from us, well, Mandela, we ain't trying to make no money now. We're trying to get control. Now, what are they actually trying to get control of? Is it a virus or the people? I say it's the people. And I'll tell you why I know it's the people, because when you got a policy to say, well, no more than 10 of y'all could be together, and then you bring in hundreds and thousands of troops and military vehicles that's slowly creeping in place, you already know that when the temperature now is 49, 50 degrees, when the time is 69, 79, 89, and you sheltered in place, and women and children are being brutalized right now, and then when you got men who ain't got no way of getting money, and they sheltered in place, the most internal place where a man going to take out his frustration is on those who he's surrounded by. The same way with Raheem Jose Junebug and Aaliyah Ling Ling. When they trapped in a system where they can't make no money, then everybody is a super predator. And that's a
I'll explain it to you. The money is going, listen, the Federal Reserve days are finished. I think we've gone over this a few times, and I just don't think you understand. The Federal Reserve and essential bankers have gone into receivership. That means there is a reset on the global economic scale that you have never seen before, or no one has ever seen. The Federal Reserve and the central bankers only took really fully control of the United States when 1913. They bankrupted everybody in 1929. We know that. And then what happened? We went to World War II, blah blah blah. We went then and they readdressed it in 1976, I think it was. Excuse me. And then we had the bomb, the World Trade Center get blown up or crashed into, whatever. We can get a debate on that if you want to. And then in 2008, 7 years later, after bankruptcy had ended, they did what? They did the banker bailout. So anyway, right now, what's going on is this, okay? There is a lot of things going on in the inner workings within the banking world and the investment world and the bond market and the gold market and what have you, whatever you want to call it, to where there is the forces between whether or not you believe it or not, good and evil, okay? And the evil are the money changers, the people out there who want to control people based upon what? Money and their liberties and freedom. Now, everyone around the world, you've said it yourself, are screaming out loud, protesting around the world in France, Germany, Ireland, Ethiopia even, China, Hong Kong. They're fighting out and they're screaming for freedom. They don't because they understand what's going on. And what is happening is they are declaring, they are going into receivership. And if look up receivership, maybe we'll go into that on another show and you'll understand that. And what is happening is the good forces, the good versus evil, the good are chasing the evil, and the evil right now is saying, well, if we can't have control, we're going to burn it down. That's what we're going to do. We're going to burn it down. So they released this virus, and they're crashing the stock market, and oil's what? What is oil? $28 a barrel? $26 a barrel today? I don't know. They're going to crash it, and they're going to hope. Yeah, okay, and they're going to crash it, and they're going to hope that all the people in the United States, the big superpower, go crazy and kill each other and attack each other, and the rest of the countries, you know, well, we know what they can do. They can throw rocks at tanks because, you know, we're our country, we can fight back, and they're going to hope of upheaval and disorder. And what does it say on your $1 bill? Novus Ordo Seclorum, okay? One world order. It means chaos and disorder to create what? A one world order. And that's what it's all about. And that's what they're going to do. And they're using this virus, which is nothing more than a common cold, okay? And because if you go to, like, for instance, look, just real quick, I'm going to let you carry on here. If you go to, I looked up Milwaukee, Wisconsin, all right? They had one death last week from the coronavirus. It was an 82-year-old woman, but they claim she died from the coronavirus. But they did not report about the 37 other 80-year-old men and women that died also because of respiratory illnesses. So, you know, and the thing is, this flu virus is just a scare. You understand my point there? So you're going to go right now. What they're going to do is, what do you do? Well, how do you buy things right now? You buy things with money. We all know money has so many germs on it, right? I mean, you see the store clerks, when you go buy something right now, they're like, they're handing you your money and your change like, oh, my God, should I touch them? Should I touch them? Ah! You know, I might have got the flu virus, you know? So that's what's going on right now. So what better way to get rid of the dollar and put it all on digits, but make it into digits?
Absolutely.
And you know, and transfer money through what? Your smartphone, maybe? Maybe through, you know, what have you. Why not do it that way? Maybe even a microchip, you know, maybe even put it in your right hand. You know, look up the RFID stuff that I've talked about for years. The that little microchip there they want to put in your forehead or your right hand or whatever. And if they put it in your right hand and or your forehead, what do? You think with the frontal lobe of your brain, right, your forehead, and you buy and sell with your right hand, right? So, you know, is that biblically sound? I don't know, but I'm just saying. Are they making it happen? It kind of seems that way, you know. And then they had this earthquake in Utah. Did anybody hear about that earthquake in Utah? I mean, when the hell has that place ever had an earthquake where that happened? I mean, and 58,000 people were harmed by that earthquake in one shape, form, or another. You know, so earthquakes in diverse places. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, how does the Bible play into this? I don't know. How does the religion play into this? Is man playing this game for us? I mean, and making it happen? I don't know. Back to you, Mandelicon. What do you think?
Here's what I know. For the first time in the history of this country, like I said, and not only this country, but around the world, the people
okay.
are enslaved, the haves versus the have-nots. And for the first time, you had movements. Everybody was all over the world were trying to organize against the government. Even here, you had all of a sudden the Second Amendment rights. You had all of a sudden the Constitution, what have you. And since this thing from the staged, orchestrated, activated, and presented soap came out, you ain't heard a peep from those, well, we got the right to bear arms, what have you. Everybody is going to be locked in and loaded. And for the first time, the law says that you cannot organize more than a certain amount of people together. Now, that's very, very alarming when we already knew that people were trying to organize against the state-sponsored terrorists. We already know that people were trying to get together. And now, for the first time in the history of the world, we are segregated in our own little humble abode, if you got one. Now, the problem that we got now is that the people are accepting slavery, a tyrant, and dictators to say that you are going to sit still in 70, 80, 90, 100 degree weather, and that the only recourse we have is to non-comply, non-gratitude. Comply. What does that mean? That means everyone must realize that we're in a new paradigm, and that if we want this freedom, justice, and total independence, that these tyrants have to be arrested immediately, or there's going to be so much blood and evil in the streets that we'll say, oh, somebody please stop it. But then everybody's out of control, and the only
my question
way
is,
we're going
to
get control.
Not to cut you off or be rude, but my question is, who is going to do that? Who is going to arrest these people?
Okay. Now, we're all going to be put in the same boat, whether you got guns or not, whether you're a militia or whether you're a Black Panther or Huey Newton Gun Club or I got the right to bear arms. When this comes down, we're going to have to do it on the fly because the National Guard will have us surrounded, number one. And they're there to protect the property of the state and the capitalists. Now, what we've got to do is organize massive numbers of people immediately to protect the state and the property, not the people, right? And the only way that can happen is when the people declare that they do have the sovereign integrity and dignity to go to shore, the beach to the summer, to go to the river, to go to the parks, but the only way we can do that is to arrest their asses quickly before they put hammer and sickle and blitzkrieg in the legislative law under martial law, because martial law means shoot to kill. Right now, I seen in a video where Walmart was being ransacked. It may not have been in America, but these are coming to a theater to us. The Walmart was being ransacked, and no clerks were in there. It was people just running in there, taking everything they could, and then some troops came in, but the troops didn't shoot to kill them. The troops ordered everybody out, and people were still running out with handfuls and cartfuls of shit. But this is what's coming to us. But we know this, that if it happens on a martial law, the shoot to kill is going to be the national policy.
All right, well, Mandelicon, I actually have a new caller here that sent me a message here. He wants to address you, actually. He's from the Northeast. That's all he's going to tell me. He's a new caller. He's an Army veteran. He wants to address you on maybe on a couple things. I'm not sure, but he sent me a private message. He said, Joe, can you please get me on? So he's a United States Army veteran. Go ahead.
Sounds good.
I'm going to unmute you.
Sounds good.
Is that you?
Hello?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead, A6O, go ahead.
Hey, Mandelicon, hey, I was talking to you earlier on Facebook. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's your name? Alex.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, I saw you in your uniform and everything, man. Go.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, what your views were on everything and, like, you know, like what you were saying earlier on Facebook, what makes you say all the stuff you were saying? Like what really motivates you to say that stuff? You don't know any of these people that you're talking to, and you're just spitting all this shit out that nobody really understands why you're saying it.
Oh, okay. Well, let me first explain. I have a right to talk this way because I have my strikes on behalf of the People's Revolution. And I'm
well, he wants to know why you're
revolution.
Talking that way. He wants to
yeah,
know why
no,
you're
I
talking
understand
that way.
I know. I'm telling why. That I got a right and authority because I got my strikes on behalf of the People's Revolution. I'm a revolutionary. And I know the system, also know the people. And what I see is what you see.
Revolutionary as far as what? What revolution did you fight in?
Oh, the revolution that I'm fighting now is to overturn a rotten, filthy social system. And that's what a revolution is, to overturn the system of oppression. That's what a real revolution is. And it doesn't have to do with anything shooting each other.
I think his main question is what kind of revolution are you fighting when you're not actually fighting a revolution? You're not doing anything other than, you know, just getting online and making statements and getting on a talk show and making statements. I think he's asking what the substance is.
Okay, the substance is the cases, without telling you what they are, that single-handedly I can say that I'm the Johnny Cochran of the People's Revolution. Those are the cases. Now, I'm on the biggest case now to bring freedom, justice, and total independence to everybody, not just in America, but freedom and justice and total independence for nobody. That's the reality that we confront with, understand the times we're living today. So if you look at what's fueling this upheaval, chaos, and mischief, and mayhem, it's not Mandela Khan. Mandela Khan is given the crystal clear clarity of the political system as it stands today as it relates to us, all of us people. And no matter who we are, whatever walk of life we're in, we are pawns in a game of chess to see who's going to win. So is it going to be the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines? Is it going to be the National Guard? Is it going to be the Crips, the Blood, the gang? It's going to be the people. Because we serve in these functions. Black and white people serve in these functions. And for the first time in history, the state is telling you you're going to make a decision on what side you're standing on, based on what, a virus, or based on national martial law, or what we call lockdown. Now, those who took the pledge to serve the people under the oath of office, they're going to be in the biggest decision, because who will you serve in a time of great trouble? Will you serve man, or would you serve man? When I say man, I'm talking about we the people, by the people, for the people, or we serve those who's giving you orders to shoot to kill. That's the reality that we confront with. So my job
is
to
come. Well, let me ask you this, Mandela Khan, okay? From my understanding, you don't consider yourself an American, okay? You don't consider yourself constitutionally American. You still consider yourself a national of Africa, correct? Or am I
no,
wrong?
I'm an internationalist. I'm an internationalist, just like everyone who loves freedom, justice, and total independence. We might say under jingoism that I love my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, I pledge allegiance to such and such. But that's not where it really is on the ground.
See, the thing
ground,
is there is you have people who, you know, you have people who agree with you. You know, I agree with you partially, but you know, you have all these people who are acting insane and don't want to listen, and they're going out and acting stupid, you know, raiding the shops for toilet paper and all this stupid shit. You know, what's going to happen if things actually did get bad and, you know, it came down to us protecting our families? You know, like, what are you going to do then? You know, it's like these people are acting like animals.
Okay. Now, look at the question and look at the answer in your own mind, body, and soul. Are we going to help each other, or are we going to kill or be killed each other until the smoke clears? And if we go according to what we got,
comes down to it.
Okay. If we go with what we got in our mind now, when the smoke clears, we're going to say, damn, did we do that? Did we actually do this? Because whoever engaged right now, no one will win. Everybody will lose unless you have a change of heart and choose a new way of life. What is that? That
right,
is
right.
Kill
no,
or be killed.
it's not going to happen. We've been preaching that way since Vietnam.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct. Hang on, Mendelikon, you're absolutely correct here, and I brought up the Novus Ordo Seclorum thing also. I want to clarify something here, is that someone put inside the chat room, and the explanation of Novus Ordo Seclorum, okay? It is a Latin inscription, Novus Ordo Seclorum, okay? Yes, we understand that, which translates as New World Order, or does it, okay? Because someone's saying, no, it doesn't. What we have there is a compound error made of a bad Latin, okay? Bad spelling and poor history. Okay, readers like myself who have studied this took some Latin, okay, and translated it. You might remember that the suffix orum is the genitive plural for what? For nouns in the second declension. All right, seclorum would have to be plural and mean of the world, which seems a rather clumsy phrasing, right? It certainly would be if that, in fact, the word in question was seclorum, actually in their desire to read apocalyptic conspiracy into our currency, okay? The millennium crowd has added the letter U between the C and the I of the word printed in the dollar, which is seclorum, or of the ages. Thus far from saying New World, Novus Ordo Seclorum reads New Order of the Ages. Yes. Since the symbol and motto are on the back of our country's great seal and were put there when the nation was being founded, they represent the revolutionary sentiment that by dispensing with kings who rule was autocratic and based on force, and replacing that system with a republic based upon reason and balance of powers and self-rule. The founders of our nation are creating a new order of ages. That's why they put that there. However, if you were to go to the Greek translation, it does mean New World Order. And if you look Noceptus on top, it means crowned a success. Okay? And what do we have here today? We have the bankers that have crowned their success on their currency to what? Control us. And that's why we call it the New World Order phrase, which if you translate it in Greek, that's exactly what it means. But in Latin, it does say which I just explained, the New Order of Ages. Okay, so you have to understand theology, you got to understand history, you have to understand translations. Every translation has a different meaning, but why was that put on the dollar bill? Why would you put New World Order of Ages on a dollar bill anyway? I just explained it to you in that paragraph, and I'll post that in the chat room if anyone wants to read it and study. So I know what I'm talking about when I say Novus Ordo Seclorum. It means they crowned a success to a New World Order. Okay, but go ahead, because that's where this conversation is leading to also. That's what the caller is calling into, because we have a revolutionary here that is not a revolutionary. That's what the caller is trying to say. What revolution did you promulgate for your people in your Ethiopian Empire through Class Action 567? That's basically what we're trying to get at here with this caller, Mendelikon.
He wasn't trying to get there, but since you say I'm not a revolutionary, let me say this. Most of you people
you're a revolutionary.
I know, but I just heard you say I wasn't, or whatever, but it don't matter. Here's what I know. I'm a hardcore revolutionary with cases won on behalf of the people's national democratic rights. Here's what I know. All of you people, black, brown, red, yellow, and white, workers from poor peasants, you're going to be in a revolution physically within the next 90 days, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 degrees, your whole mentality going to change. That's what I mean by a people's revolution. You're going to do something you've never done before because it's already been set to peasants. Capitalism, based on imperialism, don't mean a thing by the elite. They're not trying to make money. You're not going to the beach this summer. You're not going to Disney World, Great Adventure. You're not going nowhere in your big SUV. You're going to be locked down just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. I love it. I love it. Because now we're going to have to figure out, is this the end? No. It's just the end of the rule of the wicked. This is staged, orchestrated, activated, presented worldwide where all governments are under this so-called new world order, where we, the people, by the people, for the people, other people, have to bring back the old world order. What is that? The national and international.
There is no what old world order. Hang on. What are old world order? What are you talking about? What old world order? What are you talking about?
Okay.
What's old? What do you mean? Well, I don't
under
understand.
Your concept,
the New World Order is an idea that's been around for a long time that has never been fulfilled. It's been tried so many times over the years, but because we didn't have the technology, we didn't have it, whatnot, a lot of conspiracy or people that have been trying to bring the New World Order to fruition has not happened because, you know, if you go into the Bible, again, the scripture, how could you witness both the two witnesses? How could the whole world watch to the two witnesses be slaughtered in the streets for the whole world to see? Well, you couldn't see that back in 1865, obviously, because we didn't have television, we didn't have iPhones, we didn't have smartphones. But today we do. We can see whatever happens around the world in a second, right? So, you know, that's just one example.
Okay. Now, the old world order. Under your concept, you're absolutely correct. It's a new concept because that's what you say, the new world. Yet the old world, the world itself, we know, those of us who really, really know, right, not selective amnesia, but those of us who know that the old world, the world been here for millions and millions of years with human beings working, interacting with place, right? So the old world is a rebirth, the reconstitution of the sovereignty and integrity, dignity and independence of individuals, no matter what nation they are. That is the old world order that's in total recall because all the governments are clamping down on their own citizens, even people who don't know nothing about a virus, even people who don't know nothing about capitalism based on imperialism. Everybody is
right, why do you say capitalism based upon imperialism? Why do you say capitalism based on imperialism? What type of socialistic society do you envision America having? Because you always bring up the Ethiopian Empire. Ethiopia has a prime minister. Are you saying America should have a prime minister? I mean, what type of government do you feel the people should have in America?
You're mixing your itinerary up with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for the first time, capitalism based on imperialism in this country, capitalists, the elite, are saying the hell with making money. NBA, March Madness, the Spring Fever, the baseball.
The capitalist Mandelicon became rich and then became power hungry. And then they, you know, capitalism, there's nothing wrong with capitalism. I create something want to capitalize on it. There's nothing wrong with that because I created it and I want to sell it to my fellow man. You know,
what's wrong with it?
You're telling me I need to create something and give it away to you for free. Is that what you're saying?
I tell you what, there's no third party being put as interpreter. So don't try to tell me what
I'm
saying.
There's no third party. I'm telling you
the first time.
Listen, there's no rhyming on the table here. This isn't a rap song. I'm telling you, I'm asking you a question. What is capitalism on your mind? What type of system would you rather see in America? You live in America. You were born here. Well, I mean, what do you want to see happen with America?
Well, here's where you got the problem, not me.
You got the problem because you don't hate America.
And the people,
you know, so what do you want? I mean, what do you want to see happen?
Business and capitalism are shutting down and saying that we're not trying to make no money right now. We got another agenda. I'm telling you, the agenda is genocide, atrocities, and international civil war.
The only genocide that's
going to
happen is the only genocide that's going to happen is if the people don't act civil and just freaking be patient, hang on, and stop jumping to conclusions and doing knee-jerk reactions over every little thing they see. You know?
Okay. We're not going to go back and forth.
I want y'all people to watch.
Y'all people watch yourself. Don't listen to me. Listen to your own. Understand the times you live in today.
Right,
you're
going to
help each other or you're going to slaughter each other. There is no in between.
Thank you, Mandelicon. I think I got Phil on the line here. All right, Mandelicon. I'm going to leave him on the line as long as he doesn't interrupt and talk over everybody. I think I got Phil here. Go ahead, Phil. And then I got 419 next.
Hello?
I don't know who. I don't know. I'm recognizing three. I just unmuted you. You heard on mute.
Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Wyatt, actually. I called in the other night.
Oh, Wyatt. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey, Wyatt.
Wyatt, go ahead. Welcome to the show, back. Welcome back to the show. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind, Wyatt?
Of course. I don't have long to be on the show, but I wanted to hop in here and ask a question, maybe change the conversation up a little bit. I'm just curious, why is it that I can figure it out, but it seems like people older than me cannot? And what I'm talking about is Donald Trump created a loan on certain things. And with that being said, how that those loans are paid for are the interest rate. And that's paid for off is when you pay taxes for your car, when you pay your mortgage on your car or your house, then you are essentially part of that is being taken and paying for that interest rate on the loan that Donald Trump made. Well, people aren't going to work right now. They can't make that payment, which means that the federal, they're not making their payments on the interest that Donald Trump made on that loan. So my question is, what's going to happen when those payments can't be met?
There's going to be something called, I'm going to answer that question, it's going to be called a force majeure. All debts are null and void. Look it up, force majeure. That's what's going to happen. Okay, and again, I say this again, you have to understand receivership. Okay, you have to understand the reset. When you have a fractional reserve banking system across the world that replenishes itself through the labor of others, and when you, like for instance, let me use something a little more easier. When I sign for a credit card, what happens? I create that loan because I give a promise that I'm going to pay back on the money they're going to lend back that I created myself, my own money. And then they're going to lend it back to me at interest, whether it be 15%, 10%, whatever. And that's how the whole monopoly system works. You are the debt. You will now become debt. And through your labor, you're going to pay all that back. And then we get to all the birth certificate stuff and all that, but we don't have to do that because then people are going to say, oh, you're crazy and whatnot. So people aren't going to understand it. But right now, the whole entire system is going into receivership, and they're resetting the global economy around the world. Okay? And that's what's happening. It's very. You have to understand land deals. You have to understand the gold that's out there. I mean, the United States did what during World War II? We lent Europe a lot of money, right, to rebuild Europe, right? And we were all right. Korea, we gave a lot of money to Korea. Japan, we gave a lot of money to Japan. All those loans are still out there that have to be paid back, and. You know, those are things that I don't really want to get into because those are, you know, right now because it's hard, very hard to understand, and it would take like an hour to explain it, and nobody's going to have the patience to sit back and listen. But that's what's going on right now. And China, we owe China a lot of fake money too, right? And there's, I got into a conversation last night about that actually. So there's a lot going on right now. With the central bankers and the money changers, and we know who the money changers are. Everyone knows who the money changers are because the story in the Bible, you know. So it's very important that people, you know, it's something that's very complicated and it's a disgusting mess. But we can have a private conversation maybe sometime, and I could explain it to you in more detail, and maybe you'll be able to understand it in more detail. But I'm going to tell you right now, it takes hours just to get hit. Just to look at the nail, that you know, the top part of the nail there, you know, before you hammer it into the coffin. You know, it takes a long time. It's a big freaking mess, man. It really is. And this is man's twisted ways, you know, because man has rejected God since the garden. You know, God walked with Adam in the garden. God walked with Adam. And you got to go back to all the way to then. And then a lot of people are going to disagree on the religious aspect of that and the Bible. But then that opens up another can of worms. But that's a great question that you asked, Wyatt. You got anything else you want to add real quick? I got a bunch of callers on the line here tonight. I want to give you as much time as possible. I'll leave you on the line if you want to jump in anytime you want.
No, sir, I can't. I got stuff to do. I've been listening to the show, and I'm going to continue listening. I just wanted to hop on and ask that real quick.
All right. Thanks, Wyatt, man. I appreciate you, man. And I opened up tonight talking about you, and hopefully we can get that, younger generation crowd to come on and do their own podcast on here. And I think that would be a great thing to, you know, do to wake people up out there because I believe you're very knowledgeable. You're a good person. And you got a lot to share. I just, you know, and I'll be willing to help you any way possible, okay?
Okay, I just wanted to say real quick, I mean, it's just something they don't teach us in school, so we kind of got to figure it out on our own while we're out here making bad decisions and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, well, you're right about
thank
that,
you for
brother.
Your time.
You're right about that. All right.
Thank you, Wyatt.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. All right, go ahead. 419 is next. This hits 14. Go ahead. All right. We got a bunch of them calling in here tonight. That's good. All right, go ahead. 419, go ahead.
Hello out there. This is the voice of the common man running for the presidency in 2020. I have quite a bit to say this evening. Am I coming through clear?
Yeah, I can hear you. Chad's my co-host. He's been quiet. I've been waiting for him to cut me off.
Just remember, Mark, we do have quite a few callers, and try to keep it brief. Let's not go too long and give other people a chance to come in and make statements and have commentary.
That's not going to happen. I got quite a bit to say.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what, sir. Let's be courteous of all the other callers that we have coming in.
But well, we started late. That's why, Mark. We started late.
Yeah.
That's why. Is there any way you could like condense your message down to like 5 minutes?
Well, Mark, we can pick this up another night when we have an earlier show.
No,
we got more time.
Can't because this ain't the first time this has happened.
Oh God,
this
Mark,
not
we're not going to argue, sir.
Mark, speak.
Started,
you already wasted 2 minutes. You already wasted 2 minutes. Speak.
No,
go ahead. The floor is yours.
2 minutes. This is the voice of the common man. And what I'd like to particularly put out there is there's a lot of beating down on our youth today by us old fogies who don't have the information that these young folks have that are being invited to this show, and they're not given the benefit of the doubt of knowledge. They know a lot more than what we give them credit for. Even though they sit around on their computers and they're hooked into their phones and whatnot, they are getting tons of information. Lots of times they do need to redirect their information to other things. But the Bible tells us that when we correct our children, we're not to correct them so much that they will at times hate us. But we want to correct them in a way that's beneficial to them and us. And a lot of things that have happened on the show, especially in the last few days, all this glorification of war and rumors of war, this sickens me. It really does. And running for this presidency in 2020, we got to get some things together. Human life is valuable. Anybody, everybody's life is valuable. One other thing I'd like to state is that Trump, he has a monumental task. And I don't like Trump, okay? Point blank, I don't like him. I think he's a pompous ass, but he's doing the best he can with what he got. And give that man a round of freaking applause. Most people in the position he's in would have shot themselves. He's in one hell of a bind. He's damned if he does. He's damned if he don't. And anybody that don't like what I just said, fight me, damn it. Okay, so the thing is, hey, this martial law
crap. Now, Mark, you just said you don't like all this talk about beating people down and doing this, and now you're talking about fight me. Come on. What's going on here?
Me. Yeah, I'm standing up for the only damn president we got. He's catching hell. I don't like him, but damn it, the man needs a fucking break. Get that man a break. God damn it.
He's not going to get a break because you're running against him.
I'm running against him. But while he's in there, damn it, let's give him the credit that he's due. He's doing the best with what he's got. Don't like exactly the way and the direction that he's taking us. Yeah, he done some things, done kicked pretty much everybody off. But that's what we're working with. You know, these are history lessons for everybody involved to see what kind of stuff you can get to. Just trying to do the best you can. But remember, all these people come from big money. They jump up in there because they have that almighty dollar to promote an agenda of somebody else with more money. And our young children now, they're equipped to see this. And we beat them down because they don't have a worker spirit. No, no, no. They don't have a worker spirit. They know that things could be easier. They don't have a slaver's mentality. They don't want to be enslaved. And they have better ideas. So let's uplift our children, and because we done made a total mess of this, let's clear the playing field and let's give them a damn good runway to sit down on and get this damn country in shape. And quit riding them about patriotic duty and jumping off aircraft in the middle of the night and all that damn kind of hoopsie-hoop and obeying orders, which they know is wrong morally, physically, and constitutionally.
All right, Mark, we've got to get on to some other callers here.
All right, thanks, Mark. Mark, I've got a lot of people. I really do. I got a lot of people, man. I got to give everyone a chance, so please.
This is the voice of the common man.
Oh, boy. It's not the white. All right, come on, Mark. I gave you six minutes.
Have a good night, Mark.
Well, y'all still talking. Get on with the other callers.
Have a good night, Mark.
I know. Okay. Oh, Lord.
We got to go, Mark.
Have a good night. Go ahead, Phil. Is that Phil on here? Is that Phil? Nope. All right, somebody else. Go ahead. You heard I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead. Hang on. Oh, Lord. All right, let's try this one. Phil, is that you?
Can you?
See, it's hard.
Yeah,
can
you hear me?
Of them, you know?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
You
got me?
I was just going to call and let you know. The last caller, he started in talking about the youth and the need to be educated and everybody getting down onto them. Well, maybe we need to get him to take to a platform and start educating some of this youth. And that might be something he can spend his time doing right now. Would be a good thing for him.
Well, he's running for president, right? He's running for president.
Yeah.
Why not?
He's running for president.
He's running
against the president that he likes. I mean, he needs to start helping out in education, and we can get over this indoctrination.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead, Phil. I was just going to say, y'all got a pretty fiery call going so far today.
Yeah, I think everybody's everyone's agitated. You know, we've been in our house with the only thing we got is our toilet paper, you know?
Somebody even got that.
I know, some of us don't even have that.
I think you got someone else waiting to get on right now.
Yeah, I see it. Go ahead. You there, go ahead. Unmuted. Go ahead. Yes, hello.
Hi there. Hey, my name's Rocky, and I was just calling in to say that I completely agree with Mr. Phil and Wyatt about how our youth, you know, doesn't have any education worth the crap, you know. I just graduated high school, and I've been out for a year, and I've learned more about the world in this year than I have 12 years of being in school. So how would you get more people my age to understand everything that happened, you know, instead of looking at it from, like, a liberal or democratic view, like being taught that, how to teach them the truth?
That's a good question.
It's communication.
Go ahead, Mark.
And
I thought that was directed towards Mark. Was it directed towards us or Mark?
I think she threw it at the panel.
Oh, at the panel. Okay, because that was a great question. Go ahead, Chad. You go first, co-host. I'm putting you on the hot seat.
Okay. About like my first marriage.
I'm going to get you for that one.
So, you know, we got to have a common ground, and and Mark's not wrong. We have to respect the younger generation, okay? But we have to teach the younger generation, not just one side of things. We've got to teach them everything we can. It doesn't matter what view that they choose to believe in, but we need to be able to enlighten them on everybody's views, not saying they have to follow those views, but they don't understand because they're not wrong. We're not teaching them. We're not teaching them properly. They don't have the world that Phil or I or you come up in, Joe. They don't have the adult mentorship like we had. You know, they are in a school setting that is an indoctrination. It is a system that is telling them how to believe.
That's kind of scary because when you think of
I want to answer that too,
Chad, when you're done. I've got some answers for that. Go ahead, Chad.
So you just graduated school, what, last year you said?
Yes, sir. Did
you ever learn, in high school, did you ever learn things about our history that, you know, had to do with the first black slave owner or had to do with, dirty, dark past?
No, not at all. I didn't learn about
I came up in school and they taught us about, you know, blacks involved in slavery, or they taught us about, you know, the atrocities that we committed as a nation. Okay. And they taught us, they also taught us history of other nations as well and their viewpoints, which you don't see that anymore. Okay. Right. So the school system in itself is indoctrinating kids to believe one certain thing. And I think that's why kids nowadays are afraid to stand up and ask questions, because if you question something, you're not going along with the narrative. I think that's why young people are afraid to speak up, is because they've only learned one thing so far.
Hey, right. Chad, let's ask her if she thinks she has been indoctrinated when she went to a public school. You go public schools or private schools?
Oh, I went to public school, and yeah, I totally do feel like I've been indoctrinated, and kind of a scary thing, because when you think of indoctrination, you think of, you know, when Hitler did that to all the children to become Nazis, and it's kind of scary that I have that in common with them, you know?
Well what do you think about what's
question.
Going on now in this country versus
ahead,
Nazi
Phil.
Germany?
Excuse me? Sorry?
I said, you just went through school and graduated a year ago. So for the other listeners out there, especially the youth, what do you feel like between what's happening now in America versus what happened during Nazi Germany?
There's not much difference, really. I mean, if you look at what they did with their children, what they're doing with us, there's not much difference at all. They're teaching you to believe one thing and to think one way. I mean, nothing.
So basically,
you
believe in the corporation, not in the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Well I want to say this
since you've
real
been
quick.
Out of school.
Hang on, Phil, real quick, if I want to say, the indoctrination of the school, but what has been taken out of the school since, I think it was, 1956, when you stood up, in the beginning of every class or the beginning of homeroom or whatever you have it, what did you do? Did you give a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and then have a moment of silence and prayer, or what did you have? That's very, you know, because that's something that a lot of people don't understand now.
We used to have that, but I remember about maybe late elementary, early middle school, they quit doing the Pledge of Allegiance in the moment of silence and everything, and they brought it back for a short, brief time during my senior year, but they took it away again. Which I'm from Alabama, so I guess there was like a huge argument between students and the Board of Education, I guess, about the whole having prayer in school thing. So it was cool when they brought it back. I thought it was nice.
Well, while we got her on here, not to put her on the hot seat, but I'm going to put her on the hot seat. You got all this stuff going on, and Joe just brought up something, and we said prayer. So that takes me automatically to want to ask the question. What about the teachings of Islam in the public school systems?
I didn't personally have any teachers like that, but I've heard of other teachers, you know, in different schools that are like that, and they really do try to push their religion more than they would Christianity, like they would talk Christianity more than their religion, you know. And a lot of kids would think Christianity was a horrible thing, that Islam was a great thing.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. That's very, very, very interesting, actually. But one thing that you see that needs to be taught to the youth is that, you know, for instance, I'm going to just read two quick ones real quick here, and then tell me what you think. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight
your paths, okay? That's the first one. You know, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You know, and these are the things that the Lord teaches to the youth out there. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord. Stuff like that. And the youth out there does this. And that's why I'm saying the biblical teachings out there are not out there anymore within our schools. If I know you're probably too young to understand, but maybe Chad may remember, or even Leroy that's on the line tonight. What were the TV shows when we were growing up? Little House on the Prairie. The Waltons, stuff like that. What did those shows always have about them? God, they always had a reverend. They always had a minister, right? There was always about church, you know, it had some sort of God orientated with it, you know. And what do the youth today watch? What's popular with them?
Oh my gosh, all kinds of just random stuff. like Rick and Morty, I don't watch it, but it's not purposeful, I could tell you that much. You know, you have Family Guy, The Simpsons, like all kinds of random, you know, shows that have no point whatsoever.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I think I have somebody on the line here who may want to speak to you, actually. And I know who the caller is, so, because I'm trying to screen callers while I'm doing all this. So go ahead, 336. Do you want to make a comment about the youth that's come on here tonight? Because we're getting a lot of younger people calling into the show, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. But you know, I can relate a little bit, seeing how I graduated myself 2 years ago. But the I think the whole idea of it is kids today now, like starting in school, like they took out the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, growing up in school, we did the Pledge of Allegiance, and we normally sung a patriotic song afterwards, America the Beautiful, or Star Spangled Banner, or if it was a Friday, maybe we'd sing a funny song or something, you know, or just to cut up and teach you respect. They taught respect in school, too, also, from sitting at the lunch table, learning how to eat properly, chew with your damn mouth closed, don't talk with food in your mouth. You know, it was a gym teacher's job normally. She or he went around and paced the floor. You know, they taught common courtesy and respect in school, which is not taught no more. Because, you know, when kids are only home for a brief period of time at night with their parents before they got to go to sleep, wake up to go to school the next day, there's not a lot of time left in the day for the parents to instill this behavior into their kids. Where they, by the time they get home from work, they're wrapped up in doing their kids' homework, because the kids are freaking bombarded with homework nowadays. It's all completely, you know, changed over the years. And so they get enough time to eat dinner and get the kids in bed. And, you know, but the kids don't go to bed. Most of them end up playing Call of Duty or some video game or on the computer or chatting on their phones and stuff like that. It growing up when we were little, we were outside experiencing life with other kids. That's a little different. You know, you went outside, you played in the neighborhood. You ran the streets, and sometimes you might have even gotten into trouble sometimes if you stayed out late or did something stupid. And there's none of that no more these days. You don't see kids going outside to play with neighborhood kids no more. You know, there's no neighborhood clubhouse. There's no neighborhood hangout. Hell, we don't go, you know, to the town no more to meet up with people. And it's just we've gotten too far away now to say
there's no community.
Reference what? Yeah, there's no community, there's no common sense. And one thing that you brought up was the shows from back in the 70s and even the 60s and early 80s, the Waltons and Little House on the Prairie, and there's plenty of other ones. Even Good Times, if you want to bring that up, Jeffersons. One thing they all had is they had family. That's something that's not relevant today in today's TV. There is no – they're all broken homes. You got two girls raising a son on TV, or two guys raising a daughter. You know, it's that's not family. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Does it happen? Of course it happens, but we don't need to shove it down people's throat to say it's perfectly acceptable either. So I think we just got to get back to going back to the basics. Parents start turning the kids' internet. I turn my internet off every night for my kids at 11 o'clock. They don't get internet again until 8 o'clock in the morning. And except for on Friday and Saturday nights, then it's, you know, it's wide open. But you got to get them involved. I mean, go out there, plant a garden with them, do something, take them fishing, Get them out, meet people. Let them see how other people live.
So is it the parents? So are you saying
no,
that
it's not necessarily.
Need to become
no,
more involved?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I think it is. But I think a lot of times, you could have a perfectly well-behaved kid, and the second day of school in kindergarten, he comes home acting like a complete monster because he sees the way the other kids are acting, or a teacher lets him do this or let him do that, and completely, totally something different than what you would train your kid or teach your kid in your own household. And what can you do? You got to send him to school, otherwise you go to jail. So they're spending nine hours a day for 13 years being taught by life lessons by somebody who may not support the same views, and 9 times out of 10 don't support the same views as the normal common person. So they're teaching them their way. And, their way is whatever way the government's telling them how, thanks to Common Core now. You know, back in the day, we always had the good teachers. You remember Mr. Paul growing up? He was a war veteran. And, then you had the more the socialist teachers, like I can't remember the one names, but they were too busy hugging their students and care bearing them and tickling their tummies than trying to teach them and give them instruction in life. And we hate them teachers, the hard teachers, like Mr. Paul growing up and things like that. But when you reflect on it, you thank them for being so hard on you because it distilled good values into your life. And nowadays you can't do that in school because, Lord of mercy, if the teacher gets on you and does something, you're going to lose your damn job. I mean, no more talking for you or you're going to have to go to timeout, No. Grab that kid by the ear and drag him to the freaking principal's office. Them days are gone. So I think you need to get back to the way things were. It doesn't hurt children. It builds character. That's what it does. I had about 5 minutes. That's
pretty good. Wait a second. You got out of school 2 years ago? Because I'm getting emails right now. They recognize your voice.
Caught
you
on
got
that.
Out of school
Jesus
2 years.
Christ.
All right, so you're older then. All right, so you didn't get out of school 2 years ago. All right. Okay. All right. Well, you graduated from a class or something then. All right. Well, that was
I finished
kids.
College in 2001. Come on. And I was 20. I was almost 30 years old when I did that.
He might have just graduated from his DUI class. You don't know, man. He may have just passed and got out of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. Well, but
the AA meeting?
So,
oh, shoot.
Hey,
whoops.
You messed up. Wrong class.
Oh, my bad.
Here's a lot of it, too. Okay, you look at these kids. They're being taught nowadays by kids. All right? You got 17 and 18-year-olds now being taught by 22, 23-year-olds who are becoming teachers in school. So you have the millennials teaching the millennials. And, that in itself creates a problem because they're already built with this ideology that they learn in the universities or other methods. And they're taught by people who were taught just a few years before they were.
Yeah,
and
it's like
right,
a world cycle.
Maybe that's what you called in with their question, too.
Mark's just pissed off at me right now. He's blocking all my emails because he didn't get 35 minutes, I guess. Come on,
yeah,
Mark.
Just
knock it off.
Have you still got the young lady? Is she still on there?
That's what it's all about. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me something. Have the adults today just acted like totally irresponsibles on this radio show? I mean,
well, some of them.
Right.
I mean, so I listen in quite a bit, and some of them actually do. They sound more childish than I do. So.
Right.
But thank y'all for letting me be on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Before she disappears, she had a question when she called in, and she was talking about the youth and all this and how they don't have the understanding, they don't have the schooling, they're being indoctrinated. And her question was, how do we get the word out to her generation?
Well, I'll tell you what right now. You do it by I've already offered your generation your show. Listen, have your own show on this platform. You have social media. All the youth do. You can say, hey, I'm going to be on this person's show. We're going to be co-hosting, or this person is going to be hosting the show. Come on, and we want to talk about the problems we face as the younger generation today that the older generation of yesterday is not addressing, or something like that as a title for a show. I'll help you program the show. I'll help you set it up. You just got to get your friends and everyone there on social media to have the courage to come on and say, hey, what, you know, this is what the hell we are concerned about, the younger generation. And I'm pretty sure it's not the Green New Deal, you know. So, so you know, I would like you to I would like you to come on, bring your friends, and like with Wyatt and stuff, and the younger people out there, to have your own show on this platform. And trust me, we have tens of thousands of downloads on this podcast. We can only handle so many live callers. Well, you know, but we have downloads where people go back and they listen. So they'll listen to what you have to say, and you can promote it on your social media page. Say I was on this radio show, which is a blog talk show, which is podcasted on the radio too, you know, all over the world. So you're willing to – so if you want to get your word out there and you want to talk and you're concerned about your future and what you see happening in your country or in your life – or in your little circles, this is your platform. That's what I'm offering to you guys. So hopefully you guys will take me up on that.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank
really
you. I'd just like
question.
To thank y'all again. That really does answer
all right.
The question.
Perfect.
All
right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll teach you about lag time, too, because if lag time, we get like about 1.5 seconds, and then we talk over each other sometimes. But that happens. It's live radio, and it makes it unique, you know, and that's what's important. But you're going to get jerks that call in, you know, that's for sure. We got to do the closing thoughts here, that's for sure. We got to do closing thoughts, so everybody's got to take a minute real quick. Go ahead, Chad. I mean, well, Chad's the co-host, so he goes live. Go ahead, Mandelicon. You get a minute real quick. Go ahead. Then Phil. And everyone else, go ahead.
Quickly now. Understand the times we live in today. Don't take my word. Don't listen to nothing I say. Everybody's in the valley of decision. And young, old, black, brown, red, yellow, and white, we all integrated in one system. Kill or be killed. And the answer is going to be live and let live in one love under the matriarch. That's the final decision. When the smoke clears, when everything is settled down, you're going to see that the upside-down world will be turned right side up. But everybody got to organize. And you got to set a date to where we march on the capitals and arrest these tyrants, or else in the green streets of America, when the temperature gets 70, 80, 90, 100 degrees, I don't care if you're old or young, in the temperature of summertime, if you're restless, you're going to do some things that you never thought you was going to do because you don't have a commodity.
All right, Mandelicon,
that you know,
that's a minute. That's a minute because, you know, we started late. What? We started late, so that's a minute. Go ahead, Phil. Go ahead because we're getting down. We started late tonight. Go ahead, Phil.
No, I just want to say I really enjoy hearing when the youth call in, the different things that they bring to the table. You know, we're not always thinking in the same manner as what they do. And this whole education thing, getting the word out to them, that's a big thing. And Joe, you offering to put together a show for them and giving them a night to get their word out and they can gather all their friends and get people together. I mean, hell, you may just end up starting a whole damn movement right there. You know, if we can get 10,000, 100,000, it turns into a million. That's reaching a lot of kids, and each of them reach a couple. I mean, that's going to help out because, let's face it, when our generation's gone, who the hell is going to tote the damn rope, you know? But just to echo everybody
yeah.
else, stay
that's
safe
right.
out there. Stay away. Yeah, stay safe, stay aware of what's going on around you. You see what's going on out there, get it out there. Call into this show nightly every time he's on there. Get on this thing. Pay attention to what's going on. You may have to put up with a lot of bullshit from a bunch of guys on here, but you're going to learn stuff each time the show's on. So back to you, Joe.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're absolutely right. And, you know, the youth, that's the key. Yeah, the younger generation out there. Go ahead, Leroy, go ahead. Then Chad can wrap it up.
Okay, yeah. You know, it was a relatively calm show, actually, so that was a good thing. But, you know, yeah, to the young lady I was on the line, invite some friends that you know might be interested and have some input. And also, get even if their views are different, get them out there, discuss it. Even, you know, that's the one thing people don't realize is nobody ever has the same opinion as each other normally throughout all their thought processes. And just because somebody thinks something different than I do ain't going to make me holler at them or anything like that. But that's what you get nowadays. If you have two opposing ideas, you get hollered at. You know, don't overthink things. Don't stress about what, you know, what might not happen. Just chill out because life is still good. And in the end, only three things matter: how much you loved and how gently you lived and how gracefully you let go of things that don't mean crap to you. So, you know, it's just real simple advice. But anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chad. You wrap it up, man. You wrap it up. I won't say nothing after you. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, thank you, Joe. So we did have a great call tonight. You know, hearing from the youth, as Phil stated, you know, Leroy and everybody, that is probably one of the best ways that we can understand the times that we're living in, because they are our biggest asset in this world. And if we do not understand our youth, this world, this nation is going down the tubes. If we're not teaching them the right way, then all we are doing is dooming our future as a civilization. We are, especially United States of America, we are turning ourselves into a third world country, because we are letting youth lead the youth without any actual life lessons, okay? A university cannot teach you about the real world the way the real world can. And the youth need to step up to the plate, but we need to step up to that same plate and teach the youth. So I completely agree with this, and that's why I feel like, along with doing this show, I think we should give the youth a platform in which to reach other youth with their message. It doesn't matter what side it is. So with that being said, we end the show tonight with some great points, a lot of good commentary. I'd like to thank the listeners out there for jumping on. Bear with me as I am learning some more about this, and we'll just roll with the flow every night as we can. You know, Joe and I are going to do a show, you know, a few nights a week or however often we possibly can. But if you're interested in getting on and starting your own session, feel free to call in and message Joe Gibson and I. Information will be posted on the website. And Joe, to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. That's right. Blog Talk Radio, understanding the times in which we live today. We're going to give as many people as we possibly can who have something to say out there, a live voice worldwide. All right, everybody, take care. God bless.